We're very thankful this afternoon to be with each and every person on the call. We thank you so very much for joining us. If you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you're a very honored guest of the audience. And you're visiting from other congregations. You two are brothers and sisters across the nation who may be joining us. We appreciate you in all our call this afternoon. If you haven't been saved, you need to believe that Jesus hung, bled, and died on Calvary. I died on that cross, shed blood to wash your sins away. Baptism, that same blood. Purchased his church. The only church you ever read about in the Bible, that is the Church of Christ. This afternoon, as we continue our study of the book of Ephesians, and now into the first part of chapter 6, for a few minutes this afternoon, and I'm really taking my sermon title from verse 10. It says, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So, emphasis I want to put on this chapter is being strong in the Lord. What a good way to start being Father's Day, talking to family. A strong family in the Lord. Strong father in the Lord. And happy Father's Day to those men and fathers on the call. Thank you. For being, we pray you would continue to be a strong father in the Lord and a strong mother in the Lord. So I thought this was a very good place to be to put emphasis on those men, women, and children in the home. We just left chapter 5 where Paul was talking about the head of the home was the husband. The head of the wife is the husband. Wives are submitted to their husband. The head of every man is Christ. There's a hierarchy, God, Father, child, the man, the woman, and children. All unobedient to the same God, following his will and doing his will. Those who are strong in the Lord, those who are followers of God. Understand the mystery last week was the church had a relationship with Christ as a husband and a wife. Now we get into the family, chapter 6 and verse 1. The Apostle Paul says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Verse 2 goes with it. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. Children, that are maybe listening this afternoon, or be strong, child in the Lord. Remember, strong children of the Lord obey their parents. This is the duty of a child of God, a Christian child who is under the law of God. God expects you to be obedient to your parents and follow their parental guidance. So how do you do that, Brother Brooks? You follow them in the Lord. Unless they require you to things forbidden by God, your duty as a strong child in the Lord is your duty to be obedient to your parents. And that means doing what they say do. And they will be strong fathers and mothers in the Lord will guide you in the way you should go. That you may lose your life early. He says in verse 2, honor your father and mother. Notice both, though. Honor your father and mother. And honor your father and mother, see, was given in Exodus chapter 20, one of the Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 12. It says, honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord our God may give you. Given you. In Matthew chapter 15 and verse 4, Jesus said, for God commanded, saying, honor your father and mother. Notice this, the penalty. He that cursed father and mother, let him die to death. So the whole purpose of your obedience to God and obedience to your parents, so that all will be well with your life while you're living on this earth, the blessing come, temporal blessings condition for you as a child, for everything to be well with you. God is saying, you are to obey and honor your mother and your father, that you can live longer. This, unfortunately, if you look at this, you got to say, well, a lot of young children may die young because they're not honoring their father, being disobedient to your parents. If you're a strong child on the call, and you're there with your mother and father now, or you riding in the car, y'all listening on this, to this message, I want you to take from this, because I want to be a strong child in the Lord. And so they simple them. It's nothing hard about it. Being a strong child in the Lord, that just means you're an obedient child. That means you respect your mom. You respect your father. And when you respect them, when they ask you to do something, you do it. And that's the relationship with them. Now, they're going to be guiding you in the Lord, which means they to be a strong mother in the Lord. She has to guide according to the Scripture. Live according to the Scripture. To be a strong father in the Lord. To get the obedience and get the honor. All this comes with being strong mothers, fathers, and children. And the end result, the parents need to know, is our job to raise up our children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. To bring them up so they understand that this is something God has said, that it may be well with them and well with their souls. And that their life may be extended longer because they have been obedient to you as a parent. In Deuteronomy 5 and verse 16, this is all through the Old Testament. God reminded them, Moses reminded them, honor your father and your mother, as the Lord our God had commanded thee, that days may be prolonged, that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth you. So there's a promise and there are penalties. When we don't, when children who don't obey the Lord, don't obey their parents, there are some penalties. That's kind of scary. You start thinking about children, God may say, all is not going to be well with you. You may just not live long if you're not obedient to your parents and honoring your father and mother. What are we talking about this afternoon? This afternoon, we're encouraging children to be strong in the Lord. And a strong child will love his mom and dad, will be obedient to them in the Lord, for it's the right thing to do. You will give them honor or respect as mother and father, which is the first commandment from God and the Ten Commandments we promise. The promise is everything will be all right with you, that you may live long. So honor, respect. Don't talk back to your mama. Don't talk back to your father. Respect them as your parents who are trying to help you save your life and save your soul, and to teach you right and wrong while you're living in this life. How would a good mama do that? She'd do it in the Lord. How would a good father do that? She'd do it in the Lord. What would they categorize them in? Strong parents in the Lord. Parents, please listen. Today is a good day. Verse 6 specifically speaks to the head of the home. One God puts in place, after Paul just got through talking about that, the head of the house, the head of the household is the father. The head of the home is the father. The Bible says, you fathers. Verse 4. This is a strong father in the Lord. A strong father in the Lord. Provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Parents have duties, fathers. You have a duty. Their name here. The duty of a strong father in the Lord is not to provoke his children to anger. Not to provoke them. He says this to wrath. That's the duty. And then the second part of it is to bring them up. So, What is provoking mean is that you're doing some unreasonable rebukes or intemperate language or cruel way of talking to them. Rather than have the strong mother, the conversation, and the strong conversation of the father. those fathers and mothers who raise up their children. He's saying specifically to the father, says something about the father. He's specifically saying to us as fathers, is provoke not. But that's real important that we understand that something God has said as good fathers, we're not to provoke or push our children to the point of wrath by needless severity or some type of manifestation of anger or outlashing, but to teach them to teach them what's right, using and what's governing your conversation with your children is the word of God. And it teaches us there comes a time when we have to punish it. If punishment is necessary, the Bible says that's what parents do to teach their children, to raise them up, train them, train the children which way they should go. And what he's saying, Paul is saying, is train them in the Lord. Bring them up in that nurture, that admonition. One version reads, nurture them in the chastening and admonition of the Lord. Training and restraining as well as admonition or implied. The Lord said, you train them, you teach them, you bring them up. Give them a foundation. And the first thing a father, the strong in the Lord, is going to give their child a foundation as a Christian by his life and what he's living in and teaching them what they see in you as a father, what they see in you as a mother. They see a strong father in the Lord. So that teaching and that nurturing can come through conversation. It can come through the way you live and carry yourself before your children. And you know, if you've been a pretty good father, you'll get some good feedback from your children as they grow up. And, as a matter of fact, I got a good feedback today from one of my children for what they learned by me being their father. To go to the Lord. To go to the Lord. That made me feel real good to know that. And with that, what my child was saying to me, that he taught me to keep God first, to go to the Lord for my needs and to keep him first and foremost in my life. Now, if you're a father on this call today, and it's a happy Father's Day, but you have not been the father you should have been to your children, I would love to say this to you. I would love you to receive it. But it's not too late to start. You can always go and be the best father you can for your children right now. You can't go back and change things that you've done in the past. You can't go change. You can't make it better or worse. But you can go to him and be the best father in the Lord. What kind of father, Brother Brooks, what kind of father is that? A strong father in the Lord. Father strong in the Lord can regain his relationship with his children. He can get his fellows. He can get his forgiveness from them that love you. They'll forgive you. God is a God of second chance. All of us can make mistakes. All of us can't say we're the best father. I've been the best father. I know as a father I made mistakes. I'm sure the father on this call would say we're times we made mistakes, the way we done some things. But brothers and sisters and friends, remember this. It's never too late to do it right. Start now. Being the best father you can be. Happy Father's Day to those who are listening today again. Now, we just looked at strong father, strong parents, strong children in the Lord. Now he moves into another category, verse 5. And back then, or Bible time, there were slave-master relationships. And some of the Christians in the Ephesian church were in that slave relationship with their master. So this is to them. But we can also apply it to being on a job. You know, we're responsible. We're getting paid to do a job. We're there. And in a sense, we're working for someone. And the benefit of us is that we're free to leave, go, come and go like a walk, not like a slave. However, the application here of a strong servant, a strong person in the Lord. He says to these servants, be obedient to them that are your masters. We can consider that as our supervisors, our boss, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of heart, as unto the Lord. Then he said, I'm not with eye service and men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord, and not to men. Now, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Now, let's explain those three verses there. As I said, this term does not refer to what we would know as high service today, but we are hired to do jobs, so that's the application I'm going to make. And so we are in, as we are serving, as we are working for others, there is a supervisory role. There's a hierarchy that's prevalent on every job. That's why they call it boss men, boss women, and the owners of the company, things like that. But God is saying a strong person in the Lord's servant would be obedient to the master. We obey people that we work for. If they tell us to come to work on time, they tell us to do the job. We are to be on time. We are to do the job. We are to do everything according to the flesh. It would mean that those are the things that are required to get the payment that you get when you go to work. And so that's important that we know he was talking to them. But this is something that comes throughout the New Testament at time. Even Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 18, he referred to servants. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. He said, even if they're not gentle with you, you still got to be your subject under their guidance at that time. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1 through 3, Paul refers to it in 1 Timothy 6. He said, in verse 1, he said, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God is doctrine, be not blasphemed. So he's telling Timothy, you do what you're supposed to do, because you remember you're a child of God, and you stay with what God has told you to do with honor. And they have believing masters. Let them not despise them, because they're brethren. So there were some masters who were Christians as well back then. And you may have a boss man who was a child of God. But he said they have believing masters. Let them not despise them, because they're brethren. Don't try to take advantage, because that's your brother. You still got to do your job. And that's why a lot of times, members of the church or family members work for one another, and a lot of time it doesn't go good, because you want them to treat you like you their friend. You still got to do your job, even though you work for me and I'm a member of the church and you're a member of the church. You still have a responsibility to do your job to get your paycheck. Do service, because they are faithful and believe. Partakers of the benefit. Paul told Tim, these things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus, and the doctrine which is according to godliness. So he said, this is the relationship between that worker and that employee, in our case, or that worker and that master. And we have to remember that God expects us to be obedient. So when you're on your job, he expects you to be obedient and do the thing you're supposed to do in order that you are being pleasing to the eyesight of God, because you are a Christian. And God expects that. Colossians chapter 3, verse 22, Apostle Paul told the Colossians, servants, obey in all things your master, according to the flesh. Not with eye service, as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart. Fearing God. They both said, he said, if he don't just do it when they're looking. And that's what a lot of people do on their job. They do right as long as the boss ain't looking. But when he turns his back, then you go back to doing things you know that you're not getting paid to do, or falling down and not doing the work that you know you've been paid to do. God expects you to do what's right when it comes to being a worker. He said, now, according to the flesh, this is the thing that, as I said earlier, we don't go past nobody when it comes to the law of God. As long as my boss man ain't asking me to do something going against God's will of my parent, that's what we draw the line. Strong people in the Lord realize what they're doing through the way they live, is that you can win your coworkers. You can win your supervisor to the Lord. Because again, I know you're a Christian by the way you carry yourself. I don't have to worry about you. I know you're going to come to work. I know you're going to do your job. And I can tell you're a Christian the way you live. See, when we do with fear and trembling, not a fear of some punishment, but we should be fearing that we didn't do it right. We don't do our job, and how that would bring shame on God and as a follower of God and on His church. He says, as unto Christ, Christ will see and reward us for the duties that we're doing in this life. Now, I say, you don't do it just what they say. Doing the will of God from the heart. This is what's been. You know what you're doing. You know it's right. The reason you're doing it. Are you strong in the Lord? That's what I'm going to say today. Doing the will of God from the heart. That requires you being conscious of your obedience and submission and your rank of life. We are to render acceptable service to God according to His will. That we perform the services that we are being paid to do. And he demands that upon us as we live the life as a Christian. And remain humble, remain obedient on our job, and we do the things we're being paid to do. That's important. Why is that? How are you doing that today? He said, just like you would do the Lord. As to the Lord. It pleases the Lord whenever we are serving, and we're serving with our service as well, and we engage in those duties of serving the world as we ask to the Lord. We have a reason to submit to Him and be obedient. When we follow the doctrine of Christ and the teachings of Christ, that's as to the Lord. So that's verse 9. And ye master, then he go talk to the boss then on the call, and that may be one of you. That may be you are a supervisor of your job, or you in a rank that you got others who are sub to you, you know, who answers to you. You got someone who you have to tell what to do, and they're in that role, that rank, and that you are their boss man, you're their boss lady. And he talk to you. You do the same thing unto them. For very threatening. You don't talk to a person any kind of way as a supervisor who's a Christian. You don't belittle people. You don't make them feel unimportant. We are to treat them the way the Lord has treated us, because we got a master in heaven. Our master in heaven died, and he took the low role of a servant to serve the people. If you're a supervisor in this call and you're in a supervisory position, I want to encourage you to think about Jesus as the greatest boss man who ever lived, walked on earth. What did he do? He took in John chapter 17, we have time to go there this afternoon. If you look at his leadership, he was a servant. He washed the disciples' feet. He wasn't a dictator. He was someone who served, got down on his knee, washed his disciples' feet. He told them the greatest in the kingdom would be a servant. Now, he was the master. He was the King of kings and Lord of lords. However, he forbade threatening. Neither did he have respect of persons. So Paul then is saying the same thing to us as Christians. The same thing, and treat them like you would want to be treated, but like you're being treated by the Lord, and like you would want to be treated. Don't have no habit of cruel treatment to people. Just because you're the boss man, you don't have to be cruel. You can be a nice boss man or lady. Amen. Your master, to be a leader, is someone who leads and serves. You know what I taught since I've been in our life is servanthood leadership. Servant leadership is not a leadership that's a weak leadership. It's a leadership that serves like Jesus serves, not dictatorship. However, strong leader will follow the master's orders. He's going to follow the commands of the master. He's going to follow the doctrine of Christ. And that's what it takes. Even on your job, you follow the doctrine of Christ. And every brother on this call, understand, as leaders, we're commissioned to our master. We answer to him first. And he gave us an example what the greatest leader in the church would look like. He would look like Jesus, who had a dirty towel wrapped around his waist. Who are these people we talking about? Strong people, strong servants on their job, strong supervisors, strong men and women in the Lord are the same at home and at work. They do what's going to be pleasing to God. We don't just do what they can see us do. We work from the heart. We do the will of God from the heart, doing everything we do, whether we're a child, whether we're a father, whether we're a mother, whether we're children, whether we're just working on a job, or we're the boss man on the job, yeah, whether we're the supervisor on the job. We do the will of God from the heart. We do goodwill toward people. We service them as unto the Lord. Amen. And whatever good thing we do, we will go receive from the Lord, Paul says. The same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or whether he be free. Yeah, so that's what we're talking about this afternoon. And so hopefully that's been a good lesson for you. This verse 10, I'm going to stop here. But there's a lot of things following this verse. But Paul gets to you now. He's talking about all through Ephesians. We talked all the way about how to live, what God put us in, what he put in the church. We looked at how he organized. We looked at spiritual blessings in chapter 1 in heavenly places. We looked like at the mystery of God's will. We looked at people who were dead in trespass and sin. And then we looked at those who had obeyed. They was in Christ. And we looked at the fellowship of that mysterious church being bought, that one church, and all the Gentiles and Jews would come into it. And we looked at the importance of bowing ourselves, our knees, and to walk worthy of God's vocation, what we were called to do. And we know Jesus then in chapter 4 filled all things. He put everything in the church that the church needed to develop the men and women who will become new men, new women, because they've been born again. They become followers of Christ, obedient to the gospel. And then he brought out the mystery of the relationship with Christ and his church, and the husband and his wife. And now he says, Father, verse 2, Father, we're going to start, Father. So now you've got all that. Be strong in the Lord. So we came all the way down through there in this chapter. I put the emphasis on strong children, strong father, strong mother, strong home. They're in the Lord. So now he's doing on an individual basis now. How do we stay strong in the Lord? How do we be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might? He comes to his final admonition here. He engages us, encourages us to be strong in the Lord. He's going to talk about the arousal. Next week we'll do that one. The arousal, not against flesh and blood, those type of things. And what God has equipped us with, be able to fight the wiles of the devil, to be strong, to be courageous, to follow God's will, and know that God is with us all the way. So we'll pick up there, verse 10, next week, part 2 of the strong in the Lord, and how we have to equip ourselves as we near the end of the study of the book of Ephesians. If you want to call this afternoon, and you're not a Christian, you're not even in the Lord. How do you get in the Lord, Brother Bruce? Well, you got to hear the old Lord story. Our Savior came from glory. I gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. God so loved you. He so loved you. He didn't want you to die in your sins. God commended his love toward us to mankind that while we yet sinners, Christ would die. God so loved the world, John 3:16, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, not into the world to condemn us, or to condemn the world, but that the world through him could be saved. They can be saved if they obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus, after being cruelly treated, after being whipped with a whip and mocked, spit upon, hung on the cross of Calvary, there he was hanged for 6 long hours in pain and shame. It was our master. It was our leader. It was our Lord who hung on that cross. And if you believe he hung there to save your soul, then you're believing in the gospel story. They buried him in the tomb and he resurrected. That's called the good news, the gospel. When he got up, he gave the command for every man, woman, boy, girl who wants to be a Christian, today, who want to be in the Lord. They got to believe, number one, hear that gospel, number one. Number two, you got to believe. Hear the word of the gospel and believe. Acts 15, verse 7, Hebrews 11, 6. They come by hearing, Romans 10, 17. You got to hear it. I'm preaching it this evening. The simple good news that Jesus came to save your soul. Number three, you have to repent. Luke 13, 3, Jesus said, I tell you, name it, except you repent. God commanded all men everywhere to repent. At one time, God weak and ignorance, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent. What do repent mean, brother? Change your mind, brother. Brother, this is a good day for fathers. Man, well, I need to get to be a better father. I want to get my life right with the Lord. But why wouldn't you do that this afternoon? And let your children, someone, see you. Man, my dad is in the Lord now. You mean, how do you get in there? Be willing to confess Jesus to be the Son of God before me in Matthew 10:32. You be asked, do you believe that Jesus Christ is Son of God? You would answer in the affirmative. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And upon that confession, you are candid to be baptized for the remission of your sins. Acts 2 in the verses number 38. In baptism, your sins are washed away. Acts 22 in the verse 16. In baptism, the blood of Jesus will wash away your sins. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. And there you go. Here, when you got it, there you're in the Lord. Now you're ready to become a Christian. When you're baptized, the Lord then washes all your sins away. And the gift of the Holy Spirit is the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Without obedience to the Spirit, you obey the Spirit when you obey the Word of God. You let the Word of God lead you. What can lead us today to walk in the light? We're being led by the Spirit. How do you be led by the Spirit? When you study the Word of God, the Spirit is giving you information. It's like it did to be a good father, be a good mother, a good child. You got to be led by the teachings of the Scripture. That's when you're being led by the Spirit. All right. And so if you're on the call, you want to be baptized, just let us know. Your 5-star, your phone. Say, Brother Brooks, I want to start this Father's Day off right. I want to be a better father. Perhaps you want to be a better mother by becoming a Christian. Or a child. He said, I want to be a good child to my mom or my dad. I haven't been. But you're not a Christian. Why don't you get baptized? God will forgive you for everything you've done wrong. And you can come up a better child you ever be. And live for the Lord. And live to please your parents. And be the best you can be. Now, whoever is on the call, say, I want to be strong in the Lord as a member of the church. You stay with the Lord. You follow the Lord. You follow the commands that God has given. And you can be strong and strong. I hope you've enjoyed the lesson this afternoon. If you have a need for us to help you spiritually, go ahead and hit 5-star your phone. As we see the invitation song, if you need prayer, if you need to make a confession, just remember, it's important that you repent between you and the Lord. You repent of your sins, and you just confess your fault. You got to make sure repentance means you stop doing whatever you've done. And you just confess and you don't repent. Then you haven't helped yourself. You need to repent. That between you and the Lord, if you stop it, Lord, no, yeah. It's important that you confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. The Bible said, effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. If you need us to pray that you get stronger so you can overcome. That's what you ask for. If you truly have repented and quit doing what you're doing, you say, I've sinned, I've finished my sin, I'm confessing, I'm ready to get for the Lord to forgive me. Then you can be forgiven. And that's some teaching you need to make clear on there, making sure you understand the importance of repentance and the importance of in your life right no matter what you've done. At the end of the day, only you and God don't know. We can never know. We can hear what comes to your mouth, but God looks on the heart. I hope you've enjoyed the lesson this afternoon. If you have any, if you're 5-star info, I'll send you something encouraging.